Whether you're making big changes this new year or just settling back into a consistent routine, chances are you could use some audio accompaniment on your journey. I know that for me, it's crucial. A good pair of wireless earbuds is indispensable in 2023. And for premium audio at the perfect price point, you've got to go with Raycon. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable and they will not budge. Trust me, Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life, and they're priced just right. With Raycons, you get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder their everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. Now's the time to check them out for yourself. Go to buyraycon.com/Howie today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/Howie to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I might have used words at the time that I didn't understand were trafficking in anti-Semitism.
You didn't know that?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
We are doing the work that is about collaborating around the small businesses that will need to do the work.
I don't understand a word you're saying.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Words and phrases, downhill, wrong track, disaster. Full 71% of Americans say the nation is on the wrong track. We are in the longest sustained period of a wrong track number that high in the history of our poll.
Whoosh.
Should Joe Biden run again for president? He'll be 86 by the time his second term is over.
Yes, he should run again.
Why?
And he is running again. Because he has gotten a tremendous amount done.
You serious?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242, 844-500-4242, that is the number if you would like to give us a call. And I'm going to go back to talking about this Hamilton 68 in a moment, but I did want to mention that tomorrow night is the vote of the Republican State Committee. It will be in Marlboro. They're going to decide whether or not Jim Jones Lyons gets another 2-year term as chairman to finish off the Republican Party in Massachusetts. That's what it boils down to. It really is life or death, do or die for the party. I mean, if Jim Jones gets in for another term, it's all over. The party's broke. It's got all these legal difficulties. It violated the law, apparently, with colluding with a super PAC in the $53,000 investigation into now Governor Mara Healey's sex life. The party, Jim Lyons, refuses to file the legally required documents showing how much the party's in debt. Nobody's giving any money to the party. There is no staff anymore. There are no major Republican officials left in the state. There's under Lyons, it's gone from 5 sheriffs to 2, from 2 DAs to 1. No constitutional officers. No members of the governor's council. He's 0 for 18 in congressional elections. He's 0 for 1 in the Senate races. He's 0 for 2 in ballot questions. He couldn't get 4 other ballot questions onto the ballot. It's never easy to get a question onto the ballot, but it used to be doable. Not under Jim Jones Lyons. 35,000 people have left the Republican rolls. They've just checked out of the party. For obvious reasons, the party. There's a good column on my website by Beth Lindstrom. She was the first female director of the Republican Party, and she wrote a column for the website. And she says if the GOP is to survive in Massachusetts, they've got to get rid of the. She describes Jim Jones Lyons as toxic and bumbling. It's a good description, I think. Toxic and bumbling, both. That's a bad combination. You can be toxic, but if you win, you're okay. Look at all those coaches in professional sports, and in every facet of life. But to be bumbling and toxic at the same time, It's like one of the state reps who survived the massacre under Jim Lyon said, there's only two things a party chairman has to be, Democrat or Republican. You have to be able to raise money and get along with people. And Jim Jones Lyons can't do either one. He's been a total disaster. This is if he wins, the party is going to be reduced to a cult. Nobody is going to want to have anything to do with it. And he's so desperate that he is now, there's no one who can make calls on his behalf who's an elected official. He has like the support of, I think, two of the 28 legislators left in the Republican Party, the remaining sheriffs, the one DA. I don't think want anything to do with him. He's poison, personally and politically. And so he's desperate for votes. He's losing, I think, right now. I don't know how it's going to work out tomorrow night, but I think he's running behind. So he brought in the new treasurer of the Republican National Committee, this woman named Casey Crosby. She's from Kentucky. She's lost a couple of races herself, so maybe she's simpatico with Jim Jones Lyons and Rick Green and Jeff Deal, none of whom could get elected dog catcher to any office in Massachusetts over the last 6 to 10 years. So he has this woman, Casey Crosby. The national party officers, RNC, they're not supposed to get involved in this operation. So she has her picture taken last week with Rick Green, who's the bust-out congressional candidate. And so she's making calls to all these people, even though she's, you know, it's not accepted in RNC circles. She's trying to get votes for Jim Jones. So I wrote put out a tweet thread today. You can check it out. And just say, does she know who these people are that she's doing this for? You know, it's just amazing. She's got this guy Rick Green, for instance. I just found this today when I was looking around for stuff just to show what kind of guy he is. This guy Rick Green now claims to be a big Trump guy. Do you know? I found something he put on social media from on December 20th, 2015. This is Rick Green. He's the finance chair of the Mass State Republican Committee. He's the money guy for Jim Jones Lyons. All these nitwits are on his payroll, including Jeff DoorDash Deal. Rick Green, in December 20th, 2015, he tweets out, Trump Putin 2016, make tyranny great again. Watch it here, and it's a link. And he's got a picture. He's got a poster, Trump Putin 16 with a red star. And then it has Trump and Putin in Russian. And it says, make tyranny great again. So in other words, 6 months before Hillary Clinton ginned up the Russian collusion hoax, Rick Green, who now claims to be a big Trumper, he's super pro-Trump. He claimed he was saying that there was a Russian collusion between Trump and Putin 6 months before Hillary Clinton was. You could just see it right on my website. And this new treasurer of the RNC is just all in on this crap. And then Jim Lyons put out this deranged screed on Saturday night. I'll just read from it. And now follows an even more shocking development, blah, blah, blah. Carnevale, his opponent, is now the stalking horse candidate put forward to reassert progressive anti-Reagan, anti-Trump control of the Mass GOP. And then I have anti-Trump? This is a guy who was for Cruz. He was a Cruz delegate to the convention in Cleveland. I've got pictures of him, of Cruz at the barn. Jim Lyons was trying to stop Trump from being nominated on the floor of the convention in Cleveland. And he says he's going to stop the anti-Reagan control. Anti-Reagan, 1984, the year that Reagan was reelected in a 49-state landslide. Do you know what office Jim Jones Lyons ran for? He ran for the state Senate as a Democrat. He was a Democrat. So he must have been on the Mondale team, huh? right? He was running. He was running as a Democrat, and then he became a Republican and tried to stop. He tried to stop Reagan, and then he tried to stop Trump, and now he's saying that he is trying to stop the reasserting of the progressive anti-Republican anti-Trump control of the GOP. It's just amazing. And meanwhile, this guy Kasich, this guy Green, who was promoting the fake Russian collusion hoax before Hillary Clinton was promoting the fake Russian collusion hoax, he was with John Kasich in 2016. I got pictures of him there. And then now, does the treasurer of the National Republican Committee, Casey Crosby, know that these guys spent $53,000 on an investigation into the sex life of the first lesbian governor, Mara Healey, and her girlfriend, who is an appeals court judge, and a female member of the Massachusetts State Police? An appeals court justice. So, of course, he's trying to keep this woman, Lindsay Valenzuela, from voting against him tomorrow night. And a Superior Court judge said, this is ridiculous. You can't do this. So this morning, an appeals court judge in record time threw out their appeal. So Lindsay Valenzuela is going to be allowed to vote. What made Jim Lyons think that the Massachusetts judiciary, almost all of whom were appointed by Charlie Parker, was going to give him a fair shot? But especially when he's got a cockamamie case, like he didn't. I love the decision by the appeals court judge today. He said, defendant Lyons understood the bylaws. However, he decided not to avail himself of those bylaws. In other words, he didn't go through the process. He just decided that he had a right to make the law as it went along and to violate someone's constitutional rights. And he didn't win. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. I just wanted to get that out there. If you haven't seen it, these tweets are pretty good, and they'll really lay it out, the kind of people that have wrecked the GOP in Massachusetts. These are people who were promoted the Trump Putin hoax as early as 2015. This is the money guy for the party. And he was for John Kasich. And Lyons, the boss, was a Cruz delegate after he was a Democrat in Ronald Reagan's landslide year of 1984. He was running as a Democrat when Reagan was running for reelection. But now they're no lie too big for these guys. No lie too big. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. 508 says, I will vote in the Democrat primaries now. If they win, there's not going to be anything left in the Republican primaries. I mean, there'll be no reason to remain a Republican under any circumstances. Most people are independent anyway or unenrolled. 61% unenrolled. Less than 9% are Republicans. And all they care about is winning these primaries in these stupid state committee races. They've given up winning elections. And a one-party state is a disaster, is going to be a disaster if Lyons is reelected. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr, keeping the hacks on their toes every weekday from 3 to 7.
We've got to protect our phony baloney job, gentlemen. We must do something about this immediately. Harumph, 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 harumph.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
The Howie Carr Show returns after this. Got hate mail?
You bloated idiot! You stupid fatter, you!
Send it to Grace at HowieCarShow.com.
With inflation, food and heating costs rising, families are feeling the financial pinch as they struggle to make ends meet. Preparation is key. Our friends at ReadyWise have emergency food kits that will provide peace of mind. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code Howie23 at checkout to save 23% on your order. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is, should House GOP members allow Representative Ilhan Omar to remain on the Foreign Affairs Committee because, quote, two wrongs don't make a right? Yes, the GOP must turn the other cheek, or no, the GOP must play the game like Democrats?
No, the GOP must play the game like Democrats.
90% say play it like Dems.
All right. 844-500-4242. Dozens of illegal alien criminals stood their ground outside the Watson Hotel in Hell's Kitchen on the west side of New York, Manhattan, on Sunday night and refused to leave for a new shelter at the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal. Cops had mobilized around the hotel around 10 p.m. as more than 50 illegal criminals were standing outside with activists assisting with food, water, and translations. Single men were, I thought these were only families moving across the border. And I thought they were looking for jobs. But apparently they didn't have to get to bed early for their jobs this morning. Single men were supposed to be brought to the new shelter over the weekend that would provide the same services, i.e., that's services, I'll translate that for you, welfare, the same free stuff that they have been receiving. One Manhattan activist named Valerie, who declined to give her last name, said, they feel it's not livable in Brooklyn. Really? A rep for Mayor Eric Adams said the city began shuttling the single adult men, some of whom are not members of MS-13, by the way, some of whom, from the Watson Hotel to the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal in order to transition the Watson to house migrant families. Won't it be easier for them to get to Long Island from Brooklyn to do their shoplifting at the Macy's? I mean, they should put it in those terms. For the nice young men that are coming over here, they just want to steal the goods from Macy's that Americans can't be bothered stealing. Adams announced last week that the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal would be a new migrant mega shelter for as many as 1,000 illegal alien criminals. Great, great. 844-500-4242. Dean, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dean.
Hi.
Yes.
Hello. Hi, my name's Dean Chapman, and I got a little bit of psychic ability.
Yeah, I had a little psychic ability, too. I said, I don't think I need this guy to go on. 844-500-4242. This is a great story. I wish I'd thought of this. This is from PJ Media. The climate faithful have developed religious dietary restrictions, and you guessed it, we'll all be expected to eat their way. And this is so true. I've been saying for a long time, we've all realized this, that the climate cult is a cult. It's a religion. And now, like all religions, they've developed their own diet, which they want everybody to impose. Not all religions want to impose their diet, but a real hardcore proselytizing religion wants to make everybody eat the way they want to eat.
How many bugs am I going to have to eat?
Well, it begins. Jews eat kosher, Muslims have halal, Hindus eschew meat, and many Christians fast during Lent. I remember when it was a mortal sin to eat meat on Friday, period. So naturally, the fastest growing religion today, earth and climate worship, is developing its own faith-based dietary restrictions. Climatarians. Did you know this word, Taylor? Climatarians?
No.
Also known as reductitarians or climavores are people who make their food choices based on how what they will eat will impact the earth with the aim of reducing their carbon footprint. Footprint. Naturally, the younger generations are the most pious earthists, having been recently exposed to the most evangelical earthist education system yet. I'll read you some more of this story when we come back. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. So let me just read you a little bit more about this, this climavores. As the older faiths are gradually supplanted by the Church of the Climate, societal changes are in the works that reflect and support the new religion. Restaurant chains like Just Salad, Chipotle, and Panera Bread are putting, quote, carbon labels on their food. This is why I don't like these chains. I never have been to Just Salad, but I don't care for those other two all that much. I prefer Jersey Mike's subs. They don't have a they don't have a carbon label on their food. And in the case of Just Salad, they're adding a climatarian filter on its app. Have you run into any of these things, Taylor?
I don't think so.
Back in the bad old days, this is from PJ Media, righteous folk censured people who lived outside Christian proscriptions, and with good reasons. Things like theft, adultery, sloth, and single parenthood led to issues that hurt all of society. Under the same reckoning, prepare to be judged for your apostate food choices. Ordering a big fat steak in a restaurant may earn you glares from fellow diners. Do you think any of the climavores are going to a steakhouse? I don't think so.
Well, the Bible tells me that I have dominion over all the animals, so I'm going to enjoy that big fat steak.
Yeah, but see, again, the Bible is from a religion that is being supplanted by the Church of the Green. You may earn glares from fellow diners who've been taught that your dinner hurts them by causing droughts or heat waves or something.
What? I've never experienced that. I would make direct eye contact.
This is the future.
Smile.
We're talking about the future. A lot of stuff seemed preposterous 5-10 years ago, and now we're living through the nightmare. The only real question is whether or not climavorism, I think it should be climavoyerism, that would be a better word, it will be a forced or voluntary choice. And that brings us to the world that to the role that these companies can play in facilitating climavores. But it's, you know, you it may be voluntary to begin, but with these people, nothing is ultimately voluntary. It's all compulsory down the road. It's either mandatory or it's against the law, prohibited. That's the way it is with these people. I mean Democrats. Unless the industry voluntarily adopts these principles and embraces the idea of increasing the number of climavores, this is a consulting group, Kearney, it may find itself regulated out of business. Food companies that act now will win the future of food. Really? What's happened to Beyond Meat? I thought shouldn't Beyond Meat be booming, prospering? There aren't they teetering on the verge of bankruptcy like a certain radio company I used to work for? And in the process, contribute to our collective responsibility to save the planet. Save the planet. 844. Some people are writing in obscene text messages, which I'm not going to read, but I do find them rather amusing. 844-500-4242. Christine, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Christine.
Hi, Howie. Good evening. Well, in Connecticut, we have the same problem with you with bad leadership at the top of the GOP. It's incredible how both of our states, there's no sense of urgency. We have to rally the troops to beat the Democrats. The Democrats always want to beat conservatives, and they don't want any change. It's almost like they're happy to be second place and make excuses.
That's exactly right, Christine. That's what it's all about. You summed it all up. I mean, they don't mind losing elections. They say that there's worse things than losing elections. Well, why are you in the election if you're not trying to win the damn thing? What's the point if you're not, if you don't want to win? And they are specifically trying to kneecap candidates who can win. I don't know about Connecticut, but I know they're doing it in Massachusetts. I've seen it with my own eyes.
We don't have the best candidates here. And I pointed it out to our chair of the CGOP, and I told, why don't you use me as a human shield, being a conservative trans woman, too? The Democrats can't come after me about things, too. And they're content on being second place losers. And it drives me up the wall.
I know. It drives me crazy, too. It's just, and the problem with it is, I mean, it's one thing to lose an occasional election or an election cycle, but you can't have a one-party state because that leads to corruption. I mean, even more corruption than we already have in what's left of a two-party state, whether it's in Connecticut or in Massachusetts or Rhode Island, for that matter, or Maine increasingly. If you have a one-party state, the ruling party, whether it's Democrat or Republican, is going to run amok, and there's no brakes on the party power, and it's just insane. And that's the situation we're facing now in Massachusetts. I don't think the party, in her column that's running on my website, HowieCarrShow.com, Beth Lindstrom says this is like 1987 when Dukakis was running for president and just been reelected in a landslide. But I think it's worse than 1987 because so many people have moved out of the state. The working classes have largely decamped from Massachusetts for obvious reasons. High taxes, bad economic policy, just disastrous educational decisions. It's just it's a much bigger mess. It's much harder to turn the state around in 2023 than it was in 1987. And if Lyons is given another 2 years, there will be literally nothing left of the Republic. There's nothing left of the Republican Party now. It's just rubble. It's broke. There's nobody left. There's nobody left to work. There's nobody in the organization. Nobody who's not an idiot wants to be involved with this party, with Jim Jones running it. Thanks for the call, Christine. 509. I doubt anyone at Texas Roadhouse will give me the stink eye for ordering a steak. Well, you know what they'll do? They'll make it if they get their way. And you know, everything seems to be moving in their directions. They'll make it more and more difficult. I mean, whoever thought that cigarettes would be basically banned in polite society? But they are. You know how they got rid of cigarettes to a large? They taxed the hell out of them. Same thing with cigars. Some states now you have a 75 or 90% tax on cigars. Cigars are taxed more than weed. Same with cigarettes. And I'm telling you, you know, maybe long-term tobacco will kill you, but it won't kill your mind. And weed will kill your mind very quickly once you start smoking it. And that's why the Democrats love it. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. I want to go back to this story about Hamilton 68. This was revealed in the Twitter files by Matt Taibbi. These things are starting to be overlooked because they're coming at such a rapid pace. This was number 16. And what he was going into this time, Matt Taibbi, the former Rolling Stone reporter who works now for Elon Musk, trying to reveal, well, along with several other independent reporters, what was going on at Twitter. And this one was about this thing called Hamilton 68, and he calls it the new king of media fraud. And this was just a left-wing group. It was put together by a so-called liberal think tank. And it was going to monitor the influence of Russian bots. But it was total nonsense. It was just a way of electronic McCarthyism, as Matt Taibbi puts it. If one goes by volume alone, this off-sited neoliberal think tank that spawned hundreds of fraudulent headlines and TV news segments may go down as the greatest single case of very fake news in American history. Virtually every major news organization in America is implicated, including NBC, CBS, ABC, PBS, CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, and Washington Post. Mother Jones alone did at least 14 stories pegged to the group's research. There was no research. They made it up. Even fact-checking sites like PolitiFact and Snopes cited Hamilton 68 as a source. What they did was they put together, they called it a dashboard of 644 accounts supposedly linked to Russian influence activities online. Twitter checked, because Twitter realized quickly, even though they were lefties, they realized this was all BS. They checked to see how many of Hamilton 68's accounts were spammy, phony, or bot-like. Just 36 of the 644 accounts were registered in Russia, and many of those were associated with Russia TV. The accounts Hamilton 68 claimed were linked to Russian influence activities online were not only overwhelmingly English language, 86%, but mostly legitimate people, largely in the U.S., Canada, and Britain. These are comments in internal emails from Twitter. Again, all left-wingers. These accounts are neither strongly Russian nor strongly bots. Another one. No evidence to support the statement that the dashboard is a finger on the pulse of Russian information ops. Another one. Hardly evidence of a massive influence campaign. And remember this guy, Yoel Roth. Again, he's a super leftist, a gay guy who wrote his doctoral thesis at Penn on Grindr. Lives in San Francisco. Total lefty. He said, this is what he said to his coworkers at Twitter. I think we just need to call this out on the BS it is. The two co-founders of Hamilton 68, one of them worked for Marco Rubio, for those of you into conspiracy theories about Marco Rubio, and the other one was a Hillary bot named Rosenberger, told Politico they couldn't reveal the names of the accounts because the Russians will simply shut them down. That was a lie. This was not faulty science. It was a scam. The selection of accounts is bizarre and seemingly quite arbitrary, wrote Roth. They appear to strongly preference pro-Trump accounts. They included David Horowitz, conservatives like Dennis Michael Lynch, progressives like consortium editor Joe Lauria. They included leftists, anarchists, and humorists. And these are the people that they're saying that there are Russian bots. These deep state operatives that worked for Hillary and Marco Rubio were just invented this thing out of whole cloth. One guy said, I'm a 73-year-old snowbird in Florida. How could I be a Russian bot? Oregon native Jacob Levitz was one of the few people on the list who knew what it was. When I was growing up, my father told me about the McCarthy blacklist. As a child, it would never have occurred to me that it would come back in force and broadly in a way designed to undermine the rights we hold dear. And Taibbi says, this was digital McCarthyism from the left, taking people with dissonant or unconventional opinions and mass accusing them of un-American activities. You know how you could get on the list? You could have a handle like Ultra MAGA Dog Mom, or at Classy Lady for DJT. They were on the list. I'll bet they had a lot of followers, too. But they were Russian bots. And the New York Times, the Washington Post, they picked we've got Russian bots. They're talking about Trump. They would run these. It was like the COVID wastewater things that the papers run. You know? It's just easy news. You just go and you get the stuff off the site and you say, researchers say, and you just get to print whatever you want. And you don't have to expend any shoe leather. You don't even have to break a sweat. You don't have to get off the couch. This is the journalistic equivalent of all those government jobs during the pandemic. I'll read you some more when we come back. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show will be back in a bit. The paperboy is going to make a few edits on his latest Herald column.
You want to break into my kind of racket? This is the lousiest game there is. You can risk your hide to get a good shot, and the city desk may stick it on page 10 if it's used at all.
We'll be right back. The trustees have a few suggestions they would like to submit to you.
I think you know what the trustees can do with their suggestions.
The Howie Carr Show is back.
844-500-4242. 508 says, you know the drill. Some stories are just too good to check out. As long as it harms DJT, how could it hurt to share it? Yeah. Twitter warned them. Twitter warned these reporters, these left-wing reporters off the record that this was all nonsense from Hamilton 68. And they were told by the hires up to stay. We got to look at the long term here, which was getting Trump out, like 508 says. Even at Twitter, where there were basically no open conservatives in the email record, Taibbi writes, it was recognized that Hamilton 68 and at least two other research institutes, so-called, using similar methodology, were simply taking organic Trumpish chatter and describing it as Russian scheming. The site falsely accuses a bunch of legitimate right-leaning accounts of being Russian bots, as Joel Roth put it, getting, quote, traction around partisan trends to assert that any right-leaning contact is propagated by Russian bots. Harvard, Princeton, Temple, NYU, George Washington University, and other universities promoted Hamilton 68 as a source. More embarrassingly, even multiple elected officials promoted the site. Di Fi, she's senile. James Lankford, he's a Republican. Danang Dick Blumenthal, Adam Schiff, and Mark Warner were among the offenders. It was run by a guy named Clint Watts. He's a crooked former FBI agent who became an MSNBC contributor. The perfect career path. Watts, who clearly knew how to play up the melodrama of his role, gave dire warnings to the Senate Intelligence Committee, that's Warner's committee, telling them they should follow the dead bodies if they wanted to get to the bottom of the Russian interference problem. But Taibbi says the broader damage was to society, which was the subject of near daily news reports using this "the Russian bots are coming" format. These stories are still having a huge impact on American culture and politics and played significant roles in the 2018 and 2020 election cycles, placing downward pressure on the Sanders, Trump, and Gabbard campaigns while boosting the likes of Joe Biden, frequently falsely depicted as a target of Russian bots. Well, his son was taking $3.5 million from the widow of the mayor of Moscow, I add. In the wake of any online controversy, be it the Colin Kaepernick saga or gun control debates after mass shooting, reporters raced to claim Russian bots were trying to sow division, often using Hamilton or an outfit like it to bolster their bogus claims. The site pioneered a new form of fake news, which reporters at organizations like the Washington Post, Mother Jones, CNN, and MSNBC ate up for two reasons. They didn't need to push to claim Russian bots, like the Daily Beast didn't need a push to claim Russian bots were pushing Trump flash mobs in 17 cities. Two, it was easy content, just like I said, just like the COVID stories. Here's what Russian trolls are promoting today, read a piece in Mother Jones. God, this is so bad. I hope Tucker gets into this tonight. I'm Howie Carr.